Okay, today's daf is Bava Basra, daf Pei-Bez. Pei-Bez, we are on Pei-Alef and Mabez. We're in the middle of the discussion. Remember, the Mishnah got us into the sugya of buying trees. If you buy trees, do you buy any land with those trees automatically? And if so, or if not, is the rechi of Bikurim in the parallel case or not? Because in Bikurim, we know the Mikra Bikurim includes the line of Asher Nasata Li Hashem and Asher Nishpa Lav Oseinu. So yesterday we discussed, what about Gerim? What about their ability to be Mizamein? Other items, what about Shmona Esrei? Okay, you have to look into the sugyas of Gerus. But we are on Pei Alfama Beis, where we're talking about cases where there's a suffix, or a suffix, what to do, what not to do. So he said, in those cases, you know what, bring the Bikurim, but don't do the Kriya. So he said, all these problems that you run into, maybe it's going to be Chul and Bazara. So he said, oh no, you're going to make it hektish. Oh, what, don't you have to eat it because you're going to be, no, don't worry, you're going to be po to it. Who are you going to give it to? Don't you have to give it to the Kohen? And Maisa Rishon, you can't give to the Kohen. The other ones are not a problem, right? We have Bikurim, and we have Truma, and we have Maisa Ani, you give to the Kohen, but what about Maisa Rishon? So we ended up saying, no, that's also not a problem, because that could also go to the Kohen, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. We had a discussion of the Minchas Chinuch about how Chazal could uproot a mitzvah. But then we said the last line that we did, six lines from the bottom, V'dilma Bikurim Ninhu Ba'ikriya, but maybe Lamaisa it's Bikurim, and you need Kriya. So the Gemara answers, Kriya lo ma'akeves. You're right, Kriya is part of the mitzvah, but only l'chadchila. But the Eved, one does not have to do the Kriya. So ask the Gemara now, the lo, is that really true? Kriya is not ma'akev? V'yam Rabbi Zeira, but did Rabbi Zeira say, kol aroy l'bila, ein bila ma'akeves bo, v'she'ein aroy l'bila bila ma'akeves bo. Famous rule of Rav Zeira. What is Rav Zeira? I think most of the time Rav Zeira came up so far, it's been on a Shabbos, so we haven't discussed it so much. It was in Yevamos and in Kiddushin. But Kolarai Labila, what does that mean? That means the Gemara Menaches, that's the source of this whole concept, that a person wants to, the Rashbam quotes it on the fifth wide line, Mistadiv Adam Mincha Shal Shishim Isaron. A person could give a Karban Mincha of 60 Isaron. 60 Isaron of flour. I could give a Karban Mincha. And I could bring it in one Kli, the Isaron, and I can mix it up with oil, and it can be wonderful. What happens if I'm no Dave, if I give as a voluntary carbon 61 Isaron of a flour for the Karban Mincha? So the rule is, you got to bring it in two kalim, 60 and 1. Why? Because it has to be mixable with the oil, and with the based on the amount of oil that I have to mix the flour with, if it's more than 60 Isaron, it's not going to mix well. So therefore, I have to bring it in two separate kalim. The Mishnah though says, even though, what happens if I don't mix it at all? If I don't mix it at all, it's also okay. But that's the rule, kol aroy labila, anything that is fit to be mixed, and you can mix it, it's mixable, ein ma'akeves bo. Don't worry about it. If you didn't mix it, it's okay. Ra'ui, as long as it's fitting to be mixed, that's okay. Ein aroy labila, if it doesn't even have the potential to be mixed, then bila ma'akeves bo. That's the rule of Reb Zeira, that you at least need the potential to do the mitzvah, to do the act, and as long as you have the potential, it is not a problem. So the Rashbam here has a nice lushan of explaining kol aroy about the halfway down in the Rashbam. He says, the Shvamina, about the 10th line, Shetziva HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lahavi Mincha Sheyochol Lekayim Bahem Mitzvahs Belila. Hashem commanded us to bring a mincha. He didn't command us to do belila. He commanded us to bring a mincha that you can do belila with. Ukshu mevi shishim ve'echad mincha kazu lo tziva lahavi. A mincha of 61, he did not command us to bring. Vari who can maybe mincha mina kitnius. It's like bringing a barley carbon. All carbonus are wheat. Only two carbonus that are barley. Which carbonus that are barley? Number one, sota, right? She did a maisa behema, and number two, the carbon omer, right? Because we go from barley to wheat, going from carbon behema, machal behema to machal adam. So those two are barley, but everything else is wheat. Deina klum, she called davar chetziva kadosh baruch hu lahavi. Anything that Hashem commanded us to do, yesh ikuv beikar hava aso lahavi boso inyan. Anything that Hashem commanded us to bring, there is an ikuv that we have to bring it in that way. Shetziva akasef. V'lo binyan acher. Avo mitzvos ha'amuros ba'usa mitzvah. But the details of each mitzvah, tenufa, belila, some are ma'akev, some are not ma'akev, depending on, as the Gemara says elsewhere, whether shon ha'akasef la'akev, whether the Torah repeated it, which would make us understand that it has to be likuva, even in karbanis. Anyways, that's the rule of Reb Zeira. So what's the question here? How's the Gemara using Reb Zeira? Gezeira. Velo, is it really true that you're allowed to bring a Bikurim, which might be Bikurim without doing the Kriya? But what do you mean? Isn't that a violation of this rule of Kalaray Labila? He asked the Ritva, why is it a violation? I don't understand. You're not sure whether you have to bring this. Bimanavshach. If it's not Bikurim, and you're bringing it anyway just to be Machmer, that is fine. It's not Bikurim. You don't have to worry about it. And if it really is Bikurim, so it's Roy. So Bimanavshach, why is this a violation of the Din of Reb Zeira? Vakashali asked the Ritva, Dahacha, Kivan, the Sveka Ninu, Bimanavshach, Kriya lo ma'akva. Why di Bikurim Ninu, Hachazul Kriya? If it's Bikurim, then it is Roy. Vila Bikurim Ninu, Labani Kriya Ninu. So answers the Ritva, V'yesh lomar, no. Kivan, dafilu hachi, kivan she'efshar deba'u kriya, ve'efshar likro, since it's possible that it needs kriya, and you can't, lomaisa, you can't do kriya. You can't do kriya, lomaisa. We're going to get to it in a few lines from now. Why can't you do kriya, just to be safe? You can't do kriya. K'mi she'en aroy labila chashev. Not exactly ain't a roi labila, but because lamaisa you can't do kriya, we will consider it as if you can't do kriya, and therefore we will hold you in violation of Rabbi Zeira's din. So that is the Gemara's question. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about this principle of kalaroi labila. It's come up before. The most famous case where kalaroi labila comes up is in Yaradeya, where Hilchas Tevila. Well, we know there's a halacha that every part of one's body requires to be touched by the water. Every part of one's body can't be any chatzitza in tevila. And all the different halachas of chatzitza, the whole Simin Kuf Sadek Ches, I think, talks about dini chatzitza. So one of them is Beis Astarim. Beis Astarim is a part of the body which is covered up. Beis Astarim, the halacha is, what about Beis Astarim? Inside my mouth. Inside my ear. So what's the halacha in all of those cases? The halacha is, you need kala roi labias mayim. Right? Water doesn't have to get in. When a woman goes to the mikvah, she doesn't have to keep her mouth open. Right? She doesn't have to keep her eyes open. But the halacha is roi labila she needs. Roi labias mayim. Meaning there can't be any chatzitza within the mouth, or within the eye, or within the ear. Right? If it's inside the body, way inside the body, if a woman has some type of a procedure inside her body, that's not called Beis Hastarim. That's called Bifnim Aguf. Bifnim Aguf, there's certain devices women use sometimes, so that's Bifnim Aguf, that's not a problem. But if there's Beis Hastarim inside the mouth, inside the eye, between the teeth, whatever it is, so that's Beis Hastarim, and the halacha is, that needs Ra'ui. Ra'ui Labiyah. That's in the Kuf Tzad Ches in Yeradei, Hilchas Nida, Sif Chavdalet. Tzricha Lachzo Shineha, Shlo Yebam Davar Chotez. A woman has to floss, to brush her teeth before she goes to the mikvah, so that there's no davar of chatzitza. There's nothing, there's no foreign substance. Shim tavla v'nipsa shim davar davak lahem. If there's something there, it could be lo also latvila, depending on the case. The ishto goes, that's why the minhag is not for a woman not to eat meat the day she goes to the mikvah, except if it's sudas mitzvah. And she shouldn't have any hefsik, vein lo lechol klau, bein rafitza latvila, the Rama quotes, etc. And then he quotes the halacha beis astarim v'im lo yidicha beis astarim beis akmadim shalom v'im lo nitzlo davar chotzeis. It talks about having it clean that water could go into. So that's ra'ui l'bias mayim, and that's what we try to do as long as it's ra'ui. So if there's a problem in the beis astarim, that's ain't a ra'ui, and therefore it is an issue. What about l'maisa b'diavid if there is some chatzitza? We've spoken about in the past a very important chiddush of Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe writes, find it. Rav Moshe writes in a tshuva, what about if a woman has an ear infection? I'm going to say that an ear infection where she's not allowed to get the ear wet. And she has to stick all the way in her ear, she has to stick a cotton ball, a cotton swab. And she doesn't know what to do, because she wanted to go to the mikvah, and she has to stick this cotton ball all the way in. This is written in 1934, Tafrei Sadek Dalet, in Luban. Right, this is Benyin Moch Ba'ozen Letfilas. I don't know if they had the professional cotton swabs in those days, but there was some type of cotton that she was going to stick in. B'dvar Ha'isha Shetzivala Harofim Shelo Yikansu Mayim Ba'ozna Im Muteres B'shas Tfilah Lasis Moch Vata Mituval Be'Vazeline Shezem Mikashe Hamoch Shelo Yavra Mayim B'Shemofen. You let us stick it in with a little Vaseline on it so the water doesn't get by. Shemashva, it's mashva from your words, the questioner, he wrote to the questioner, that it'll be a problem. Let me explain to you why I think this is not a chatzitza. Says Rav Moshe, there are two types of chatzitza, says Rav Moshe. Echad, the davar chotzitz, davok al haguf. One type of chatzitza, something stuck on the body. Davok al haguf. If I have a bandage. I have a bandage on my body, and it doesn't let the water go in. V'lo havi osa chelek haguf roi klal. So that chelek of my body, I have a cast on. It's not roi. She yavo alav mayim, kifi mashu ata. That's not roi labia. V'sheni, dekisa bedavar acheres haguf. But the second type of chatzitza, where something is covering the guf, kimo ochez ba'adam, v'kafsa yada, it's like I'm holding somebody's hand, and I close my hand. V'chadome, sheha'adam ba'atzmo ein bo shum chisaron l'bias mayim, rak shudavar acher ha'ochez ba'gufo, einu maniach sheyavo amayim l'gufo. Is that I have a problem that's stuck to me, but I have something external that is blocking the water. But it's not doubled to me like a bandage would be. V'travayu avichatitza, and really both of them are chatitzas in Balakid. If somebody is holding my hand, or is there external or something connected? Mikra din both chatitzas. Asha al kapanim chotzei d'mayim yaguf. But now he says, aval hu rak b'makom hagalui shebi'inon bi'es mayim mamish. Both of those are chatitzas by a makom galui. Once you get to Beis Hastarim, we go down one notch. The Beis Hastarim, she'ain tzorach l'bi'as mayim, inside the mouth, inside the ear, inside the eyes, where I don't need actual water to get there. Elashi he roi l'bi'as mayim, so then ain lifso rak chatzitza demin arishon. Only type one is a problem, chatzitza. The type that is davuk, davar chotzi, should be said, zeh lo avi makom roi l'bi'as mayim. So if somebody has something stuck between their teeth, it's really stuck there, that would be called davuk, and that could be the problem. That could be a problem. Avalamina beis deinsham davar chotzeitz. Rakta adam ochesham. But it's just like something external that's there that's blocking. But it's not considered davuk to the body. Umachmaze ein hamayim yachon lavosham. Ubeetzam aguf ein shum chisaron. That's considered ra'ui l'bias mayim. And that wouldn't be a problem. So for example, let's say you have a coin in your mouth that's rolling around. That wouldn't be a problem according to Rav Moshe, because that's type 2 chatzitza, and therefore it would be roi l'bi'as mayim. So says Rav Moshe in this case, v'hine. So let's say a case where if I'm a woman's supposed to go in, or a man's supposed to go in here, everybody based on Migdash, right? Now, the eyes are not supposed to be crunched up like this, and I'm not supposed to, right? Because that some of the skin might be blocked. So that's type 1. But that would be if there's a fold in the body, which is based on starim, it can't be davuk laguf. But what about the case of the ear, the case that he's talking about? He says that's type 2. That's an external item that is blocking. You could pull it out. And therefore he says it would not be a problem. That is Rav Moshe's chiddush. Five shuvas later, this is in Sadeches, in Yerodei Aleph, a couple shuvas later in Kuf Dalid, he has the same, another Shiloh, which is the same Yisod. What happens if a woman forgot to take out her contact lenses? Right? We try to remind the, that's part of the process, take out your contact lenses before going in. What if a woman forgot to take out her contact lenses? This is 1959, a couple of years later. Written to Rav Ephraim Greenblatt, the Rav Yosef Ephraim. Ubedvar mishkafayim shenasu mechadas shekorin contacts. Shemesimin mitok la'af apayim imchotasin. 1959 contacts. So what's the halacha? So he says, look in my tshuva that I wrote a couple years ago. Look inside the ches, and same kind of thing. Milchadchila, we try to remove everything. So milchadchila, she has to take it out. But here too, if she did it, especially if she's at home already, I had the shiloh once, someone called that from home, that she forgot to take out one. She thought she got it out. I don't wear contacts. I don't know. She just got it out. She didn't. Anyway, so Rav Moshe says, "Bidiyevet shegavkei kivan shel nisdav kusham bedevek she'enam chotzin v'mshachah kol asir meinsoch tefila acheres rak lechadchila." You're supposed to take it out. That is Rav Moshe. This second point about the contacts is the machlokas aposim about this. The Mishmas Avram that Abraham quotes a number of other opinions here in Yerodea, where he talks about maybe it depends the type of contacts. Maybe it depends if she takes it out every day or she leaves it in sometimes for a week or two. Different types of contacts. So if a woman leaves it in for a week or two, then for sure it's not a problem. Chatzitza. B'diavad. Because she's for sure not makbid. If she takes it out every day, it's more to talk about. But then he's b'chalik. Maybe it depends if she puts it in for the whole day or just for a couple hours. Let's say if she goes out, she'll put it in. But she won't leave it in every day the whole day. So there's different possibilities. Again, the more it's there, the more lenient, we can be. But again, a shilom should be asked. A shilom should be asked in these types of situations. Again, the big sugi the post can talk about, which we're not going to get into, is fillings. Different types of fillings. Permanent fillings, temporary fillings. How long is it going to be in? Could it come out already and it's just that the dentist doesn't have time to take it out? Or could it come out already? The dentist said it has to be in. So again, a lot of times the rabbi has to call the dentist or have the person call the dentist. If it's something that the woman needs right now and she wouldn't want it taken out now, then it's better. If it's a case where, you know, it could come out right now but the dentist is on vacation, right, it can't come out right now, then it's more of a problem because it's not bothered to the goof anymore. All these are issues of Beis Hastarim, all coming out of the din of Revi Zera, of Roy Labias Mayim and Eino Roy Labias Mayim. Just two other points in the Rishonim, and then we'll move on. There is an important Tosfos in Nida, which talks all about Roy Labias Mayim. Tosfos Nida Samachavim Abase, where Tosfos says, V'im Tomar, I don't understand this whole Svara. It's similar to what the Rashbam said in our Sugya. Kivin Delo Ma'akva. If we're saying that a certain act is not ma'akev, you don't need the water to touch. You don't need to mix the flour with the oil. The makkah for Roy Labila. Hecha dein Roy Labila namilas kashers. So what do you even need the potential for? What's the difference? You need the potential for, you're never going to fulfill the potential. You don't have to fulfill your potential. The potential. All you need is the potential. So if you don't have to do it, so just say you don't need it. So v'yesh lomar desvarahu. No, it's a svara, as the Rashbam said. Kivan de kapid kralach anchilo la'asos ha-mitzvah, be'inon shei roi lakach, alo v'sheinu ma'akev. De'im lo kein, because if you say that you don't need it at all, then the whole mitzvah would fall apart. You'll never need it. Nisba'la mitzvah legamri, shlo ha-yokal la'asosa. If you say that you never need even the potential, then the whole idea that the Torah is commanding you will fall apart. And then he asks, so Lamaisa, why don't you need it? Why don't you need to mix it? Why don't you need tefillah? He's focusing on tefillah. So here's the line that many Rishonim also talk about. There's no such thing, v'yesh lomar de'ein svara gabe tefillah, shelo hikpid the Torah. He said, let me rephrase the question again. Is there a lachanchila for mayim b'beis hastarim? He says, you don't find it anywhere. Is there a lachanchila for me to keep my mouth open when I go to the mikvah? No. Why isn't there a lachanchila to keep my mouth open? For Beis Hastarim. All you need is Roy Labias Mayim, even Lachanchila. Says Tosfos, you can never have a Lachanchila and a Bidi'eved when it comes to something that's called a Matir. Something that's Matir. It's not just a mitzvah. If there's a mitzvah to do, so then there's a better way to do the mitzvah and a less better way to do the mitzvah. But if something is Lamaisa a Matir, it allows me to do something afterwards, then you can't say there's a Lachanchila way of doing a Matir and a Bidi'eved way of doing a Matir. Lamaisa, is it mutter or is it not mutter? You only have that by mitzvahs. He says, "Shalok pita torah la shiyitar ha'adam v'yin lomar de lachanchila liboy tekiva de b'yevet tohar lachanchila nami loboy v'yis'alo t'vitalo tefila." So he says that's why you don't have it by matira. But by mitzvos, that's why by tefila there's no lachanchila. But by mitzvos, you can say lachanchila, you should mix it. Avol bila u'mikra bikurim, our Gemara, v'chalitza mitzvos ninhu. That's why chalitza, you have to do the kriya lachanchila, but the evidence not. That's a separate sugi we're not going to get into now. Chalitza might also have matir elements. Let's say there's a woman who's 105 years old, and she has to do chalitza or yivam. Does she have to do it? What if she says, I'm never getting married again. I'm 105 years old. I don't need to do it. It's the first shuv in the Chacham Tzvi. Right? Does a woman have to do, does she have to do one or the other? Okay, she just say, forget it. I'm not interested. So the Chacham Tzvi there talks about, maybe she doesn't have to do it, because it's all about in terms of getting married, a matir. If she doesn't want to do the matir, not. Okay, that's a big discussion in Yevamis that we had. Let's leave it for now. That's number one. Just another place where Roy Labila comes up, not so famous, this one, and that is Aran and Sukkah. You have Roy Labila by people, usually. A person has to be Roy Labila, and the Karban Mincha. But in Sukkah, the Gemara there says, if a lulav has leaves that are separated, Nifridu Alav. So, says the Gemara, as long as it is ra'ui to be ogeid, you don't have to be ogeid it. Right? Roy la'eged. You don't have to be ogeid it. But as long as it has to be roy la'eged, if it's so hard that if you would put it together, it would crack, that's not a good lulav. Why? Ron quotes, Reb Zeira, Kol Roy Labila, Yudalam Abeis, in the Dafe Harif. Okay? That's Kol Roy, and now we continue. So again, the Gemara says, if you have a case of Safek, how could you bring the Bikurim without doing the Kriya? Isn't it like a case of Eino Roy Labila? Answers Tosfos. All of you who say that I don't get to Amid Beis, I've spent 20 minutes on Amid Beis already. To Avi Lahuk, Rav Yossi Bar Chanina. That I go like Rav Yossi Bar Chanina. No, there's another way. Maybe this case like Rav Yossi Bar Chanina. To Amar, who says? Batsran, Vishagan Biat Shliach. The Rashbam says this is two cases. Batsran means if the Baal HaBayis was Botzer, harvested the items for Bikurim. And Shagun Biyad Shliach, and he sent it then in the hands of the Shliach, meaning one person didn't do the whole job, the Baal Bais cut it, and then the Shliach brought it to the Beis HaMikdash, or Umei Shliach, or the Shliach is on his way, and the Shliach dies, therefore somebody else takes it. Meaning, either case, we saw one person didn't do it, Meis Paderach, maybe Veino Kore. Those cases, may Iker Hadin, he does not do kriya. My taima dechsev, because the sheet Rabbi Yossi says v'lakachta vehevesa. You have to take it and bring it. Ashet hei lakicha v'havaa on the side be'echad. It has to be with one person, and therefore this drasha says so. It's not. You don't need roy in this case because it's me'ikar hadin. You don't have to do the kriya v'haleka. And you don't have the kriya here. Period. One second, michti psuke ninhu likri. The question that was bothering you before. What's the downside? Just say the psukim. What's the big deal? It's ain't a right. So say extra psukim. We have other places. What's wrong with saying extra psukim? Right. We say after kriya shma. Right. Is you listen? No kriya shma is mana. Okay. Call them akori by Torah. Fine. So just say it. What's the big deal? So Gemara has two answers. Amalei b'shum de mechzi kashikra. Number one, maybe it looks like you're lying. Asher nasata li Hashem. You're not sure if it's nasata. You only bought one tree, two trees. You're not sure if you have land either. So you can't say that because it's mechzi kashikra. It could be that you're lying. Answer one. Let's do the second answer. Rav Misharshi, Brei Rav Chiya, Amar, Dilma Asilaf Kuinhu, Mitrumu Meiser. No, there's a Gzeira Drabanan. You might be Mafkia. You might uproot Trumas and Meisers. What do you mean? Two deis. Either you or others. If you bring this and have to do Kriya with it, so then you're basically going to assume this is real Bikurim. And if it's real Bikurim, you might not take off Trumas and Meisers at home from this land. But remember, it's only suffix. You have to take off Trumas and Meisers, like we said yesterday. That's the problem. Or other people might see you do it. They'll see you do Kriya and Hava and Kriya, and therefore, again, they might think it's real, and it wouldn't be, it would lead to not taking off Trumas and Meisers, eating Tevel. So that's why it is a problem. Two issues. Number one, there's an unbelievable gra. This Gemara, you think, okay, wonderful, let's do it with Bikurim. There's a gra, and if you read this gra, if you're not doing Gemara Bavasra Pebes, this gra will probably pass me by. But it's only one of the Aladaf pages. He points out this gra. What gra is it? It starts off with a tour. It starts with a tour out of left field. What does the tour say? Simon, Tav Kuf Samachay. Tav Kuf Samachay. Comes up sometimes, let's say in days of Slichas. Days of Slichas, let's say I missed Minyan. I missed the Minyan with Slichas. I want to say Slichas by myself. So am I allowed to? So the issue is the Yud Gimel Midos. Is one allowed to say the Yud Gimel Midos without a Minyan? That's where it comes up. This is in Hilchas Tainus, where somebody has a Tainus Yachid. Let's say somebody's fasting for a certain reason, whether it's a yard site, whether it's a Tainus Chalom, and they want to say Slichas. So are they allowed to say Yud Gimel Midos? So the Torah writes in Tav Kuf Samachay, Kasser Reb Nosson, She'ein Minog Liyachid Shemisane Lo Marshalosh Esri Midos. The Reb Nosson in the Torah can't say it. Can't say Yigimel Midos, you need a minion. The Torah writes, Ve'ein Yodea, Mach Shashish Medavar. What's the problem? Shari Einu El Kakori Batorah. You're just like reading the Torah, you're reading Psukim. Shari Lo Amru Chachavim El Kol Davar Shebek Dusha. Kadish Kedusha Baruchu. This is a Davar Shebek Dusha? It's not the same level as Davar Shebek Dusha, like Kadish and Kedusha and Baruchu. You'd give him midos. So the Torah writes, I don't know what Rav Nassan's problem is. The Beis Yosef discusses it, that some Rishonim agree with Rav Nassan. Where do you see that it's like a Davar Shebek Dusha? That's the Gemara we know from Maseches Rosh Hashanah. Kadosh Baruch Hu garbed himself in a talis and said, say this in front of me, and I'm going to be mochal you. So that gives it smacks of a Davar Shebek Dusha. But the Beis Yosef writes, if you say it derech Kriya Ba'alma, so then it's okay. Right? Like we say in Birchas Kriyashim every morning, Kadosh Kadosh Baruch Kavod, that's also Kedusha. But we say that also. So what do we paskin? So if you look in the Shulchan Aruch in Tav Kuf Samachay, the Shulchan Aruch says, Ein hayachid rashai lomer shlosh ezemidos. He can't say it. Derech tefila ubakashas rachamim. You can't say it as a tefila. Aval in bala omram derech kriya ba'alma. If you just say it derech kriya, what does derech kriya mean? If you look at the Trumas Hadashah, it means with the trap, the Tami HaMikra. Or if you say it with a trap, then it's okay. Then it's okay, you could say it. That's the Shulchan Aruch. So where does this come from? It comes from a Trumas Hadashah. But if you look in the Gra, right here, what's the source? What's the source in Shas that you're allowed to say something as long as you're saying it derek kriya ba'alma? What's the source? Says the Gra. Kimasha kasa baba basra pebez. Michdi psukim ninu likri. V'yein shayach lomar kan mechzi kashikra. Period. So if you're not learning the daf, baba basra pebez, you have no idea what the Gra is talking about. But the umba he had mamish on his fingertips, middle of Basra, not just the beginning and the end, the famous prakim. He says, what do you see from our Gemara? The only downside with saying psukim, when they're not needed, is a mechzik kashrikar problem. So if there is no mechzik kashrikar problem, say the psukim, no downside. That's what you get from this Gemara. So that's what he brings as a proof, as a source for the Shulchan Aruch. Yud Gimel Midas can be said as Kriya Ba'alma because there's no other downside. There's no Mechzi Keshikra. That's the Gra, Bira Gra, Tafkuf Samache in the Shulchan Aruch. That's one issue of Mechzi Keshikra. The other issue of Mechzi Keshikra is something that came up earlier in this Masechta, which was on a Shabbos, so we didn't get to discuss it. That was Daftes Vav earlier, where the Gemara had a Machlokas Tanoim, amazing Machlokas Tanoim, who wrote the last eight Psukim of the Torah. Who wrote the last eight Psukim of the Torah? So we want to discuss Machlokas. Machlokas, whether Yeshua wrote it or Moshe wrote it. According to the Mandamar, Moshe wrote it. Moshe had to write it. Moshe didn't write some of the Torah. He had to write it. According to the one who said Yeshua wrote it, why did Yeshua have to write it? Because if Moshe would have written it, Mechzi Keshikra. Vayamasha Moshe Ever Hashem, he didn't die yet. So how could he have written it? So that's Mechzi Keshikra. Fine. So the question is, how does each one answer the other's taina? So the Gemara says one way. The Gemara says, according to the one that said Moshe wrote it, so how is it? According to the one that says according to the one that said Moshe wrote it. Let's look back at the Gemara for a second. Daf Tesvav. According to the one in Moshe, Amalei Rebbe Shimon, Efshar Sefer Torah Chaser Osa Achas V'Ksiv L'Kocha Sefer Torah Zeh. Ela Akar Hakadosh Baruch Hu Omer U'Moshe Omer V'Kosev Mikan Ve'Elach Hakadosh Baruch Hu Omer U'Moshe Kosev Bidema. Famous word, Moshe wrote it in tears. So therefore, it wasn't Mechzi Keshikra. What does that mean? He wrote it in tears. Rashi said he was crying. So it's still a sheker. So the Marsha. So Rav Shachter likes to quote this as a misquoted Marsha. What did the Marsha say? What does it say there? It's his basis for a minute of the Sofer Moshe. It said, up until the last day Pesukim, Hashem said it, and Moshe said it and wrote it. Now, Hashem said it and Moshe wrote it. Bidema. So first of all, Moshe didn't say it, didn't repeat it. He didn't repeat it, so there's no Mechzi Keshikra. So Rav Shachter likes to quote that. That Marsha is quoted as saying you're allowed to lie in writing. You're just not allowed to lie in speech. So Moshe didn't write it. But you have to read the next line of the Marsha. Says, okay, regarding the Amira, he didn't say it. But what about regarding the Ksiva? That's what it means, Bedema. He didn't write it with ink. He wrote it just with tears, which is Ksav Sheinu Miskayim. So therefore, it's not really Ksav. It didn't last. He had to write it part of the Torah But Moshe, Yeshua ben Nun afterwards, he was the one that was Mekayim it. He wrote it again with ink afterwards. That's the Marsha right here on Daf Tesvav in Baba Basra. Okay, that's how you get out of the Mechzi Keshikra problem. We mentioned that. I think we mentioned it in a Parsha Shir. We mentioned it in Zosar Bracha. The Parsha Shir, the Grozvart, two Groz on this line about Dema. What is Dema? Dema might mean from the word Medume in Hilchas Royim. Right, Meduma means when you have Truma and Chulin mixed up. Meduma means mixed up. So the Gross is unbelievable. What does it mean mixed up? The Ramban writes in the Hagdama to his Sefer that really we could read that all the Torah spells out the name of God. Shem Hashem. Hagdama to Bereishis. But really we just don't understand it like that. Right? We read Bereishis Bara Elokim. But really you could read it differently. Barosh Yisbara Elokim. So everything could be spelled out differently. So there's the way that the Torah existed before the world was created, istakal baraiso bara alma, and then the way it was given to us. So he says that's what it means. Moshe Rabbeinu was given the last eight psukim of the Torah, bedema meduma, mixed up. He didn't have a yamasha Moshe Eved Hashem. He just had those last eight psukim as a row, all together. So he got the Torah, he wrote the Torah, but not as we understand it. Yeshua ben Nun came along and deciphered it for us. Kodesh Baruch Hu gave him the Kamach to decipher it. But that's what it means. Both, says the Gra, Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim. The question is, Moshe wrote the Nistar, and then Yeshua ben Nun came along and wrote the Nigla. That's all about Bedema. Vayter. Okay. Higdilu lo yishafeh. So now we get on to, back to the Mishnah. So the Mishnah said, if I sold you two trees, you are not entitled to any land around those trees. But if your trees grew over my property, I'm not allowed to trim the branches. I can't trim the branches because I sold you the trees. I obviously gave you enough land so the trees could grow. Not land, but rights at least over those trees. So hechi dami, but the Mishnah continued. We glanced over this yesterday. We didn't focus on it, but the Mishnah continues and says, in this case where if you do not have any land, you bought two trees, you have no land, what happens if things grow out, other shoots grow out from the bottom? So the Mishnah said, if it grows out from the stump, then it belongs to the tree owner. If it grows out from the roots, then it belongs to the landowner, to the seller. So hechidami min hageza, hechidami min hashrashim. So how do you measure what's from the root and what's from the shirashim? So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, kol shiruah p'nei hachama, if it's visible from the, if it sees the sun, literally, it sees the sun, meaning it's so close to the tree and it grows from on top, zeh min hageza, that's considered from the trunk and therefore it belongs to the buyer, the owner of the trees. V'she'ena ruah p'nei hachama, zeh min hashrashim. If it's tekenad, if it's underneath, then it's min hashrashim. Then it's from the roots if it's underneath the ground. Says the Gemara, 1 minute. V'leichosh, why are we worried? Dilma maska ara sirton. Maybe it'll be from the trunk, but you know what? Dirt and soil will go over these branches, so it'll look like as if it is not roa p'nei achama. And therefore, the amale and the buyer will say all of a sudden, when he sees these shoots that look like separate trees, but they were not really separate trees. Tlasas avidisli, thank you very much. You sold me 3 trees because he sees these extra shoots coming out. It looks like a separate tree. The isli ara must be I have land because I bought 3 trees, even though he really bought 2 trees. So why aren't we worried that he will be able to trick the guy? So el amar of Nachman yakutz v'chenam Rabbi Yochanan yakutz. You're right. When we say that the buyer, the owner of the trees, has rights in these shoots that come out of the trunk, it means he's got to cut them. Right? When he sees them come out, he's got to cut them. He can't leave them there and let it sprout there. He has rights to it, and he has to cut it. Period. Ask the Rishonim here. The Ritva asks, what are we worried about? Why don't you just wipe off the dirt and see where it comes from? We're worried that he's going to cover it with dirt. So check, right? Why don't you just uncover it, says the Ritva. You know what it must be? It must be that if Meikir Hadin, if somebody sold a tree like this, with shoots coming out of the main trunk, but it's covered with dirt, that's considered 3 trees. So it doesn't matter if you're going to uncover it. That's what you see from this Gemara. If somebody sells a tree, but it has shoots that go under the ground a little bit, and then come out somewhere else, it must be that's Nechshav 2 or 3, must be that's Nechshav a couple of trees. And that's why he wouldn't be able to just uncover it. It wouldn't help. And then there's a discussion in the Rishonim, the Ritva here, the Ramban here. He says, Lamaisa, who has to prove it? Who has to prove whether it was 2 trees or 3 trees? It sounds like from this Gemara that the seller has to prove it. That's what it sounds like. Because the buyer could say, hey, look, it's mine. And what does the Gemara say? You're right, that's why he has to cut it down. It sounds like, says the Ritva, says the Rashba, the Ritva quotes his Rebbe the Rashba, that it sounds like that the buyer, the seller would have to prove it. Why? Because the principle we had back in Maseches Ksuvos, kan nimsu, kan hayu. 4-word principle. Here they are, here they must have always been. Kan nimsu, kan hayu. If there are 3 shoots now, it must be that you sold me this. Right, that's what I have to prove. Let's say 5 years after a sale takes place, who has to prove it? Says the Rashba, says the Ritva, it sounds like from this Gemara, the seller. But my grand Rebbe, the Ramban, says otherwise. The Ramban works out how you can learn this Gemara differently. The Ramban says that, you know, it's the buyer that has to generally prove it, because he's HaMosim Mechaver Olav Araya. The Muchzak is the seller. And says the Ritva, when my Rebbe heard this, the Rashba, he was Mevatel Das. And he agreed with his Rebbe, the Ramban. Even though he agrees with me fundamentally, says the Ritva, but he was Mevatel Das to his Rebbe, the Ramban. So it's an interesting discussion right here in the Rishonim. Let's just finish, and then I want to say over one Meshech Chachma. Let's just finish to the bottom for a second. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman, Naktinan, we have a Misora, Dek Elein Lo Geza, a palm tree has no Geza, has no stump. What does that mean? So Sabar of Zidl Meimar, is it thought to say, it doesn't have the halachas of the stump that we just mentioned. Elo Gezel Baal Dekel. The Baal Dekel, the one who bought the palm tree, is not entitled to any shoots that come out of it. Why? To keep it to the Mechpar L'Sharishkoi, because once the top of a Dekel tree gets dead, it doesn't regenerate. So the assumption is that I'm going to uproot this tree totally. If I'm going to uproot the tree totally, then I have no plans for future use of the tree. So any stump, anything shoots that come out of the stump, I have a hesach hadas from. I'm not focused on it. So asuche meisach daite. So for the halachis of shoots coming out of a stump belonging to the buyer of the tree, that doesn't apply to palms. That's how Rav Zvid understood the halacha. So masal or a papa. Papa says, is that really true? V'akodesh ne'ilanos. Our Mishnah spoke about buying 2 trees, and it was a machalik between types of trees. And probably palms were included in the Mishnah. And the lamechbar on the Mishnah is kaimi, and it stands to be uprooted. V'ktani diyesh lo geza, and it includes those trees in the Mishnah. So what do you mean you can say it doesn't have a geza? What do you do with our Mishnah? So Elam or Rapapa. Rapapa says, no, this is what the Brisa must mean. This is what the Naktinan must mean. Ein lo geza, not because he's Mesach Das. Ein lo geza la baldeka, why la fish ein moti geza? It's just a mitzius. It's a mitzius. It doesn't have the halachas of a geza. Shoots don't come out of the roots of the stump of the palm. That's where Rapapa says it means. Olur of Zid Kasha Masdi says, how does Rav Zvid interpret the Mishnah? So, dezavin l'chamishnin, it must be a case where he bought a palm tree for at least 5 years. So if he does that, then that shows that he's not interested in uprooting it right away. If that's the case, that's why he gets palms. That's why he gets the shoots of the palms, because he's not interested in uprooting it right away. Period. Just one Meshech Chachma, and then we'll continue. Again, unbelievable, just to come for this Meshech Chachma today. The Haftorah for Achron Shel Pesach. The Haftorah we quote from Yishayo Perek Yud Aleph, describing Mashiach. The Yatza Choter mi Geza Yishai, there will be a sprout that goes out from the Geza of Yishai, from the Geza, from the growth of Yishai, the Netzer mi Sharashav Yifre, and a Netzer, and also a growth will go out from its roots. So he says, what's the pshat? He says, the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to make Chizkiyahu Mashiach. But the problem was, the Malachim said that, Moshe Rabbeinu? What happened to you're going to make what, Chizkio and Chizkio Mashiach, not Moshe? Moshe sung you Shira, and you didn't make a Mashiach. Chizkio, you wiped out the whole camp of Ashur. Remember the Sancheriv, the whole place was wiped out around the battlefield, and Chizkio didn't sing you Shira. You're going to make him Mashiach? No, you can't make him Mashiach. So he said, that's the conversation, and he didn't make Chizkio Mashiach. So he says, and the, now let's read the Pasuk. The Yatza Choter, a Choter, growth will go out, mi Geza. What's a geza? What does our Gemara say? Geza. Geza is kol haruah pnei chama. That's considered min a geza. So somebody who's already sees the chama, meaning somebody that has already lived in my dar, that's considered a geza. So Yishayo is talking. Chizkio has already been ruah pnei chama in my generation. Right? He's already lived by it before me. So kol she ruah pnei chama v'kfar nolad v'chizkio shmo. That's one chance to be Mashiach. V'yatza chotem mi geza Yishai. So Mashiach could have been that person. From the Geza. Who's the Geza? Somebody who's already been Ropen Echama, that's Chizkio. The Geza Yishai. But, if that didn't work, the Netzer Misharashav Yifre. If not, it's gonna be somebody from the Sharashim. Somebody who didn't see Pnei Echama yet. And that's gonna be Mashiach in the future. Right? It's gonna be Mashiach. Shazru'enim Ropen Echama, Vzeh Mashiach HaMachuke. That's the one we're waiting for. So he says, those are the two choices we have. We have Chizkio, who's the Netzer, who's already been Rav Ne'achama, and we have the Netzer Mishar Shav Yifra, who has, that's Mashiach HaMachukah. The next parak says, Zamru Hashem ki Geus Asa. Sing to Hashem, and you could have been Mashiach, because he did amazing things, ki Geus Asa. But no, if you blow it, if you don't sing, so then, the end of the Pasach, Muda Zos Bechal Ha'aretz. So you gotta wait till all the world sing Shira, and that's gonna be Mimosa Mashiach, and that's when the second half of the Pasach is gonna come true, of Netzer Misharashav Yifret. So you read this line in Yeshayo, Pasach in Yeshayo, and it connects it to our Gemara about Netzer, about Geza and Shoresh, whether Roa Pnei Achama already or not. Okay, weiter. Again, the fact that there were such these minds that lived not so long ago, the Meshech Chachma, the Gra, they knew it. They knew it, and they should be inspirations for us. Later, Kona Shlosha, Kona Karka. But the Mishnah said, if you buy three trees, you are Kona the Karka. It's different than two. Vakama, how much land, if I buy three trees, how much land do I get? Amar Chibar Abba, Amar Yochanan, Hareze Kona Tachtein, Ubeinehem. I get the land under them and between them and around them, a radius around them, kumla or basalo, enough for me to, let's say, put a ladder there, go up on the tree and get the fruit and harvest, and it'll fall into my basket. Whatever could fall into my basket, kumla or basalo. So a little radius around the trees as well. Maskav lor balazar, 1 second. Hashta derech einlo. If a person buys trees, he's not left even with a path to get to his trees. Because we assume, remember back from the previous parak, a mocher sells ba'ayin ra'ah. So if I sell you a piece of land, I didn't sell you. If you want a path to your tree through my field, you got to buy it. You got to pay for it. So if a mocher doesn't even leave him a path to get there, malkum or v'salo yeshlo, could we assume that he left him areas around the tree? How is that possible? Derech ein lo da'ara achrisi. He didn't leave him a derech to get there because the fields around belong to the seller. Or v'salo yeshlo, is that possible? So before we answer the question, Reb Zera says, Midiver Rabbeinu Nilmad, from your question, you know what I realize? Ironically, Shlosha hu de'ein lo derech. If somebody buys three trees, and therefore he has area under and around those trees, that's the case where there's no path left. But Hashnayim Yishlo, if a person bought two trees, then he obviously has a path to get there. Why? Because the Amalei, Ba'ardidach Kaimi. Because, look, I bought two trees, you understood that I'm gonna be in your land totally, so of course you have to give me a derech. If I bought three trees, then I'm standing on my own land. So then, maybe I didn't sell you the derech. I didn't buy the derech, so therefore I have to buy it from you. But he has the Reb Zera has the comment that just from the question of Rabbi Lazar, it sounds like if you bought two trees, then for sure you would have the derech. But Amalei Rav Nachman by Yisrael Rav. Now we're going to analyze the question and ultimately uproot the question. Lema Rabbi Lazar, Leslie de Shmuel Rabbi. Does Rabbi Lazar argue with his Shmuel as Rabbi? Damar Shmuel Halacha Rabbi Akiva. Shmuel says Halacha Rabbi Akiva. Damar Mocher by Yafa Mocher. No, Shmuel says that Halacha like Rabbi Akiva, who says when a seller sells, he sells Ba'ayin Yafem, meaning he gives you the derech to get there. The fact that Rabbi Lazar asked the question means he holds like the Chachamim against Rabbi Lazar, who says Mocher Ba'ayin Ra Mocher. Is that true? Could Rabbi Lazar be going against his Rebbe? So Amar Lei, he says, yeah, because Lo Matukum Masisa Rabbi Akiva. It's impossible that our Mishnah is like Rabbi Akiva. The difference between two and three trees. Why? Mimai, midiktani higdilu yishape. From the next line of the Mishnah, our Mishnah says, if somebody bought three trees, and then they grow, then the seller can chop off and trim the trees that go over his property. And if our Mishnah is authored by Rabbi Akiva, amai yishape, why would he be able to do that? Ha'amar mocher b'ayin yafa mocher. Doesn't he say that a mocher always gives off rights, great rights, mocher b'ayin yafa? So our Mishnah can't be like Rabbi Akiva. That's why I said that the Mishnah must be going again according to the Rabbanan Ba'ayin Ra, and that's why I asked my question. So Amar Lei answered him, no, you're still not forced to say our Mishnah is against Rabbi Akiva. Amar to Amar Rabbi Akiva, when does Rabbi Akiva say his Shita? That when a seller sells, he sells very nicely, Ba'ayin Yafa, Gabi Bar Vadus. That's only if he sells a pit or a water or a cellar. Lo Machashi Ara. There's no downside when I sell you these things. They don't hurt my land that's surrounding. Gabi Ilan Mishamislay. But if I sell you a tree, which your tree might inhibit and affect negatively my land around it, does Rabbi Akiva say Yeshita there? Midu lamodu Rabbi Akiva, wouldn't Rabbi Akiva admit, be'ilan hanoti lotokstecha veiru, if I have a tree that goes over your property, shikosi smala mardeya, me'al gabi makresh, I'm allowed to chop down your tree to make room for my plow to go through. So Rabbi Akiva would admit in cases where there's a negative effect. So to our Mishnah, if the branches go around, Rabbi Akiva would agree that you're allowed to trim those. So therefore, don't tell me our Mishnah is against Rabbi Akiva. So therefore, if our Mishnah is like Rabbi Akiva, you could say, Mocher ba'ayin yafe mocher, and the whole kasha from the top of the amud falls away. His whole kasha was, hey, he gives him the area under, but not the derech. He does give him the derech. He does give him the derech. And therefore, it's not a problem at all. Period. Another brisa, hare ze kana tachtehen ubeneyen v'chutzelen kamalo or v'salo. So what happened? The brisa that supports Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba. What does he get if he buys the three trees under it, between it, and around it? Only a bailer of Yosef. Osan or v'salo mizorin. That area that is around the tree, that's enough room to put the ladder in the basket that catches the stuff that you harvest. Who's allowed to plant there? Meaning, the Ritva points out, under the tree and between the trees, for sure, totally belong to the buyer. But the area around, does the Gemara really mean that the buyer owns that land? Or does he just have rights to stand there when he harvests? It's understood that he could stand there and put his basket there, but it's not that it's his. That's the question. Which is it really his, or does he just have rights there? That's how the Ritva explains the question. Amar Lei, Tani Tua, we learned it in the Mishnah. Later on, the Mishnah in the next parak says, Hachitzon Zoreas Adarech. If there's an inner garden and an outer garden, and there's a way the inner garden owner has a derech to get to his inner garden through the outer garden, the outer one is allowed a seed in that derech. So to here, it must be the seller. So Amar Lei Midami, one second, it's a big difference. Hasam Lesleib Seder Delokeach. Over there by the gardens, there's no doubt, there's no negative by the outer garden person planting in that derech. Aval hacha islep seder lokeach. But here there's a problem. To amar leikim tanfi peirei. But over here, the buyer might tell the seller, you can't seed underneath in that area where I'm going to put my basket, because if my trees fall down and you have stuff growing there, it's going to ruin my fruit. It's going to ruin my fruit. So you can't plant there, so you can't compare it to that case. Halodami el seifa. Compare it to the seifa of that case. The Seva of that case is a case where Beis Din works out that there's an area adjacent on the outside of my field that Beis Din says nobody's allowed to be Zoreya. Because the assumption is that you're both going to use it and you don't want to affect anybody negatively. So therefore, that's what this is like. This Mali or Vesalo, it must be that nobody can plant there. Because you don't want it to affect negatively either one. Period. Okay, weiter. Says the Gemara, Tanya Kavasi, the Abaya, Harezek, Lakana, Karka, Hezer, Zakana, Tafena, Benevah, Chutzalahan, Kamala, or Vesalo, Vizevizay, and Rashon Lazaro, like we just proved, like Abaya. They both, he owns the area, but neither of them could plant there. The Kama Yevenehan. Okay, now we have a general question. This case, what we say, if you buy three trees, you buy land underneath, in between, what's the distance between the trees? If they're too close together, then we'll assume that you didn't sell the land. Because if they're so close together, they can't grow properly, we assume that you're going to uproot some of them. If they're so far apart from each other, then we assume that they're just independent. And you didn't sell an orchard specifically. So what's the distance that's allowed for the trees to be enough together, but not too close together? So Rabbi Yosef, Amar of Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Me'arba Amos Ad Shmona, 4 to 8 Amos. 4 to 8 Amos. Rava Amar Nachman Amar Shmuel Mishmona Vashesh Rei. Right, 2 Amorim in the name of Shmuel. Does Shmuel say 4 to 8? Does he say 8 to 16? 8 to 16. So Amalei Abayler of Yosef Lotifagal Leid Rav Nachman. Don't argue with Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman's got it right. It's the second opinion that is true, meaning you have up to 16 Amos. The Tzanva Sisa Kavase. Because there's a Mishnah. There's a Mishnah that proves like Rav Nachman that the shear should be 16 Amos. Did Tzan? Because the Mishnah says. And just as a hagdamah to this Mishnah, we mentioned, it's come up in the past, I think, different halachas by Kilai HaKerem. Kilai HaKerem, planting something in the vicinity of a vineyard, there are two different halachas. If I have a vine or I have a whole vineyard. If I have a vine, how far do I have to distance from a vine? Just 1 amma. 6 tvachim. 1 amma away, I can plant whatever I want. But if it's a vineyard, if it's already a kerem, dalan amas. That's called avodas HaKerem. The Mishnah calls it that in Kilayim. So there's a difference between a vine and a kerem. So a geffen and a kerem. So this Mishnah is in Kilayim. Hanoteas karmo sheshes re'ama al sheshes re'ama. If I plant a vineyard, but there are 16 amos, right, in between. So in the middle, where it's 4 amos away from everything. Let's say it's a square, and there's a vine on each side, and there's 4 amos away from everything. So that's not a vineyard. They're too far away from each other. The 16 amos in the middle of everything, so I'm about to plant this. So what do you see? 16 amos is the shear for independence. And therefore, I'm allowed to plant there. Amar of Yehuda, the Maisa of Salmon, there's even a story that happened in Salmon. Be'echad shenot des karmo, sheshes re'ama, sheshes re'ama. There's somebody planted a vineyard like this. Vayahofech seyar shtei shuros letzad echad, v'zareya sanir. And what he used to do, he used to throw the branches, lean the branches to one side, and then plant in the open place. L'shana acheres, and the next year he did the opposite. Vayahofech zasir v'lobacha mazer v'zareya sabor. And then he planted the field, the part that lied fallow the previous year. And the Chacham said, wonderful. So you see, isn't that a proof? We're not going to do the disproof today, but you see that that's a proof that 16 amos is the shear. The question is what was he doing with the moving the branches back and forth? What was that purpose? So the Rashbam here says, on the bottom, second to last line, where do you measure 16 amos from? Or 4 amos? So the Rashbam holds you measure it from the tips of the branches. That's why he had to push the branches to one side or to the other side. Because you measure it from the tips of the branches. Therefore, there was a real me'ikar adin problem, potential problem of kilayim. That's why you had to move the branches. If you look in the Shita Bukubet, says here, Shita quotes the Tosa Rosh and says, no. The reason wasn't because of that, because you measure from the roots. You measure from the stump, from the bottom of the vine. He was just doing this as and able to prevent an iser d'rabanan. El b'shvil sha'aser luzro atachas azmoros mid'rabanan. This wouldn't really be a kalayim, it would be planting under the azmoros mid'rabanan, and therefore, it was maker adin d'rabanan. The Rashbam says it was solving a d'raisa problem. The Tosfos HaRosh in the Zidu Gebetz says it was solving a d'rabanan problem. And finally, the other mafarshim, the Bar Tanura, the Rav Bar Tanura on that mission in kilayim there says, maybe it wasn't solving any problem, it was just the way the farmers used to do it. They used to leave a part of the field fallow, right, every other year. Planted, not planted. Planted, don't plant this. That's what he was doing here. He was leaving one field fallow so that he could plant it the following year. Right, it reminds us of the Rambam and Mor Nevuchim about the reason for Shemitah is to give the field a rest so it grows better the next year. Everybody argues on that Rambam, but that is that's a three pshatim why he was moving the branches back and forth. Okay, we'll have to stop here. Hashem, we will continue.